This is Jim Sklavounis of Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, and you're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC, Accra.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. And this morning, we're going to speak live with filmmaker Brendan Fay about his new pseudo-documentary, Your Valley, My Valley, quote, a lighthearted portrait of a community through the lens of seven seemingly disparate characters, unquote, that premieres at the Community Theater in Catskill on November 18th. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather, the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after Jason Martin has finished singing this song on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
Airwaves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
Turn out for a sunset moonwalk at the Greenport Conservation Area on Wednesday, November 16th at 4:30 p.m. Columbia Land Conservancy leads the moonwalk over the trails of the Greenport Conservation Area, and participants will look up at the moon and constellations and discuss nocturnal adaptations by animals. Bring water, weather-appropriate clothing, a flashlight or headlamp. It's recommended for children ages 5 through 12, but all are welcome at the Sunset Moonwalk at the Greenport Conservation Area on Wednesday, November 16th. Go to the WGXC Community Calendar for more information at wgxc.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Sun Common, supporting vibrant communities across New York for over 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Spike's Record Rack in Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Robert Gavin reports for the Times Union that a former Queens police officer has been indicted on felony charges alleging that he submitted false paperwork to a state agency claiming that four police recruits had undergone the proper field training. Kevin Schwebig, 38, of East Greenbush, worked as a part-time officer and served as a field training officer in Queens. He pleaded not guilty to the indictment during a court appearance on November 14th. Schwebke is charged with four counts of offering a false instrument for filing in the first degree. The felony carries up to 4 years in prison upon conviction. Schwebke is currently employed as a Menons detective. The indictment said in Queemans, Schwebke submitted final evaluation paperwork for two trainees in August 2018 and two others in January 2019. All municipal police officers in New York are required to complete a basic course for officers within 1 year of the date of their original appointment. and includes a minimum standard of 700-plus hours of training, which includes field training. Schwebke was required to physically observe recruits in person to evaluate and document their progress in a daily report. Instead, he submitted allegedly false paperwork to the State Division of Criminal Justice Services claiming the recruits had completed their in-person training when they had not. Many of the recruits had to repeat their field training, officials said. Schwebke's attorney, Michael McDermott, said his client was told to administer a training program developed by his supervisors. He was told the plan was approved by the appropriate authorities at the police academy. Quote, he just administered the program as it was designed. He never intended to defraud or deceive anyone. He's been 100% transparent as soon as this matter became an issue, unquote, McDermott said. Schwebke was released on his own recognizance and is due back in court on December 16th. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Mid-Hudson News reported that the Hunter Tannersville Central School District failed the state comptroller's IT audit. The audit by the state comptroller's office reported officials at the Mountaintop School did not adequately manage or monitor non-student network user accounts or develop a written information technology contingency plan. The audit looked at records between July 1, 2020 and July 27, 2021 and found officials did not disable 31 unneeded network user accounts of the 225 enabled non-student accounts. Some of those accounts were with former employees and substitute teachers that were never employed by the district. Hunter Tannersville school officials also did not have a written IT contingency plan or store backup data off-site. District officials said they agreed with the audit recommendations and are implementing corrective actions. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News.
Mid-Hudson News reports that New York Attorney General Letitia James, November 14th, took action to stop online ammunition sellers from illegally shipping munitions to New York residents and failing to keep records of the sales. An investigation by the AG's office found that 39 sellers have been shipping ammo directly to state residents in violation of the SAFE Act, which prohibits direct online sales of ammunition. James sent cease and desist orders to the sellers demanding that they stop shipping directly into the state's customers and warned them of the serious legal consequences if they continue to violate the law. Quote, shipping bullets to New Yorkers' doorsteps is illegal, and ammunition sellers that ignore the law will face the full force of my office, unquote, the attorney general said. Quote, online sales of ammunition are dangerous and could end up in the wrong hands. We are taking action to protect communities and enforce our responsible gun laws, unquote. The SAFE Act requires all ammunition sales to be conducted in person between a licensed firearms dealer or registered seller of ammunition and a customer. The law also requires ammunition sellers to create and maintain a record of every transaction that includes the age, occupation, and residence of any person buying the munition. Direct shipments and a failure to keep records of ammunition sales statewide violates the SAFE Act and New York's consumer protection statutes. James warned that such violations could carry penalties of up to $5,000 for each individual violation and may subject them to disgorgement of all income resulting from the illegal sales. Read more about this story at MidHudsonNews.com.
Kate Lisa reports for New York State of Politics that the New York Attorney General's Office and the Department of Environmental Conservation asked the state Supreme Court on November 11th to stop operations at the Norlite plant in Cohoes. Last month, the Attorney General and the DEC filed a lawsuit against Norlite to force the company to curb emitting harmful substances into the air with hazardous waste burning. Attorney General Letitia James said in a statement, and I quote, air pollution from the Norlite plant has made it impossible for community members to open a window or walk outside without fearing for their health and safety. Last month, Commissioner Sagos and I filed a lawsuit to protect Cohoes residents and force an end to Norlite's long history of environmental violations. Today, we are taking action to stop Norlite from continuing to endanger the neighboring community, and we remain committed to restoring safe, clean air for all New Yorkers, end quote. The AG and the DEC asked the court to order Norlite to monitor the levels of crystalline silica, a particulate matter the facility releases into the air, and report the results to the public. The DEC warns that Norlite is, and I quote, emitting contaminants at levels that increase the risk to the health and well-being of the surrounding community, end quote. Residents near the Albany County plant complain of many health issues related to air toxins, including upper respiratory issues, sinus problems, high blood pressure, headaches, eye irritation, sore throats, chest pains, asthma, COPD, and cancer, according to the Attorney General's office. Read the full story at New York State of Politics.
Melissa Hale-Spencer reports for the Altamont Enterprise that students at Gilderland High School on November 9th staged their second walkout in less than a month. The most recent event involved 35 to 40 students, mostly females, and was held to protest sexual harassment. The first action on October 17th involved approximately 100 students and followed an incident at a football game. At that game, a few students who were part of a large cheering section and all dressed in black for a blackout theme painted their faces black. The first walkout was more organized, Superintendent Marie Wiles said. After students had their say, they returned to their classes at the end of the period, she said. She described students in the first walkout as, quote, passionate for sure, unquote, and called listening to them, quote, a very intense experience, unquote. But she also said those students were respectful. Students protesting on November 9th were disruptive and disrespectful. She said adults in the building that morning were terrified, quote, they were afraid, I could see it in their eyes, unquote, Wiles said. Students opened the school's front doors against security protocols to let students out and back in again. And when the adults were finished listening to the complaints and asked the students to return to class, the students refused. This created a bottleneck in the school lobby as other students not involved in the protest were trying to get to class. Wiles stressed that sexual harassment will not be tolerated, nor will racist behaviors, but she also expressed zero tolerance for unsafe and disrespectful behaviors. Wiles communicated with students' parents and guardians describing the walkout because she wanted to, quote, put everyone on fair notice that we will take disciplinary measures, unquote. Asked what those disciplinary measures would be, Wiles said, starting with the, quote, gentlest, unquote, students who miss class will be marked with an unexcused absence. On the question of safety, Wiles said that Gilderland's police chief, Daniel McNally, quote, has said that if the district was interested in a second school resource officer, he would be willing to assign an officer for the balance of this year without additional cost, unquote. Read more about this story in the Altamont Enterprise.
Noah Zweifel reports for the Altamont Enterprise that the Albany County Sheriff's Office approves of a trail network for all-terrain vehicles administered by the Hilltown Riders. The town of Bern will hold a public hearing on the proposal next year. The Hilltown Riders are a private club for all-terrain vehicle riders that leases land from Camp Pinnacle in New Scotland for riding. Commander Tom Preisner of the Sheriff's Office said, and I quote, I just want to make sure that everyone out there is having fun, they're registered, hopefully insured, and they wear their helmet, end quote. Preisner also said officers would carry out more patrols in the town if the ATV trail was approved. The public hearing on the issue will likely be held in January. And you can read more about this story in the Altamont Enterprise.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Tuesday, there will be increasing clouds with a temperature high near 41 degrees. On Tuesday night, rain and snow showers are likely before 10 p.m., then snow showers and possibly mixed with freezing rain, and a temperature low of around 29 degrees. And on Wednesday, snow showers possibly mixed with freezing rain before 11 a.m., then rain and snow showers between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. with a temperature high near 38 degrees. And Wednesday night, a slight chance of rain and snow showers before 10 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 28 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM,
Radio for Open Ears in Greene and Columbia Counties.
Tuesday, November 15th, tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on WGXC 90.7 FM, including at 10 a.m. Justin Maiman is live in Acre with the Ginger Radio Hour. At 11 a.m., it's time for the Early Electro Mix Show with early compositions on early electronic instruments. Vinyl Freedom is live at noon with DJ Patty Boom out in Greene County with 2 hours of funk, punk, rock, reggae, rare groove, and more. And 4 p.m., tune in to WGXC Afternoon Show live from Hudson. At 7 p.m. live from Hudson, Kimberly Irwin hosts her Race Talk show, and she will speak with Timothy Harper, a local scholar, and attorney Summer Burnley about race and the workplace. At 8 p.m., it's Ukuleles Unleashed live from Catskill with Johnny Sturman and Carmen Borgia. And at 10 p.m., it's the Battlefield Earth Show live from Dan Seward in Hudson on 90.7 FM WGXC.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
On Saturday, December 10th, the Athens Cultural Center puts on the 2022 Athens Victorian Stroll, a holiday tradition that's been gone for a few years because of the pandemic, but is back this year with all sorts of free activities from 1 p.m. in the afternoon through the evening. Take a stroll through the village, sample all sorts of food and drinks. Santa Claus will be around and carolers will be singing. That's at the 2022 Athens Victorian Stroll on Saturday, December 10th. Go to the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org for more information.
Welcome to the video rental store in your mind.
Looking for something to watch, but feeling overwhelmed by all the options?
Feeling unsatisfied with all the boring, restrictive categories like romance and drama or horror?
Tune in to Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda every second and fourth Tuesday at 7 p.m. and get turned on to movie genres like eco-horror,
unsettling kids' movies,
alien boyfriends,
creepy therapy.
Start listening so you can start watching today.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, November 15th. Local early morning temperatures range from 18 degrees in Medusa and Steventown to 26 in Kingston. Regional average soil temperature is 46 degrees. Finish those outdoor projects today because the closest possible snowfall will be on our heads. Before I get ahead of myself, today will be cold but dry. A high of 41 happens at 3 p.m. After dark, rain starts likely around 7 p.m. Then, as temperatures drop, it will turn to snow and sleet. The higher your elevation, the sooner it will convert. By morning, everything should be a sloppy mess. Then it will warm up and get washed away by rain as the day gets up to 41 degrees once again. Rain stops by dark, which sounds nice, but it could lead to surface icing as temperatures drop to 28 degrees overnight. Thursday could have a wet afternoon and a high of 44. Another sub-freezing night hitting 25 degrees takes us into a dry Friday with a high of 41. Today's tide schedule is low tide at 2:01 a.m., high tide at 8 o'clock a.m., low tide again at 1:33 p.m., and high tide once again at 7:49 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 53 degrees, and today's tide strength will be very low. Sunset today will be at 4:22 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:42 a.m. Looking way up, we see coronal holes are releasing plasma streams due to give us some near hits and collisions over the weekend. Flare chances are at 45% for M and 15% for X-class discharges today. Solar wind speed is currently 407 kilometers per second at 2.9 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 8 MHz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 1, quiet, and the current sunspot number is 77. This has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Peter W. Bone of Gilboa, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
I'm Cheryl Kay, host of the Jazz Disturbance on WGXC, 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. The Jazz Disturbance features jazz and other improvised music. Tune in on the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 5th Sunday of each month from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on 90.7 FM, wavefarm.org/listen, tune in, and on the Wave Farm Radio app on your smartphone. Playlists are posted at facebook.com/CKDisturbance. We'll be right back.
we hear local music from Poughkeepsie's Joe McPhee. He took his saxophone into his closet during the pandemic quarantine and produced a 2021 album called Route 84 Quarantine Blues. This is the title track.
Thank you.
Poughkeepsie's Joe McPhee on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. And now we go to Catskill, or I don't know if we're going to Catskill. I'm not sure where we're going next, but we've got Brendan Fay on the line, and he has got a movie premiering in Catskill on Friday, November 18th, called Your Valley, My Valley. It's, quote, a lighthearted portrait of a community through the lens of seven seemingly disparate characters, unquote. Is that true, Brendan?
That's very true, yeah. I created perhaps more characters than one can easily deal with making a movie in the way that I did. In fact, I wrote seven there, but it's actually nine. And I ended up with so many characters because I wrote this movie as I went, starting 3 years ago. And so as I explored where I felt the story could go, I imagined more characters and found more people around here to portray them. And it was sort of this ever-evolving puzzle of my own making that, as I was solving, created the movie that I ended up with. And so there are nine characters, none of whom know each other at the beginning, and their stories intersect, but largely it's a character study of very different people all living in the same place and dealing with the same reality in different ways.
So is this a Hudson Valley Spinal Tap or Best in Show, or is it more of a Robert Altman?
That's a great question.
Joint.
Maybe somewhere in the middle. Yeah, working in the genre, if you will, of the pseudo-documentary and it being comedic, one might label it as a mockumentary. And the reason that I didn't use that term is I didn't feel that I was mocking anything, whereas the Christopher Guest stuff is sort of deliberately mocking a specific type of event and a specific type of documentary. In my case, I just had a story to tell and felt that the documentary style was the best way to do it, because it allowed me to explore individual subjects separately and not have to have exposition through dialogue. I could simply just be present, and the character could just be talking to the filmmaker, who you never see. The filmmaker is anonymous and behind the camera, but is a tool by which we get to know these characters. But yes, it is funny. It's lighthearted. It's silly. It's earnest. And it's entirely fictional with respect to this setting. So it is filmed here, and people will recognize many features such as the mountains and the creeks and so on, the general landscape, but it takes place in an entirely fictional valley and all the characters are fictional and so on.
Oh, it's not in the Hudson Valley.
So it's filmed here, but it's in the movie, it's simply referred to as the valley, and everything is just generic and without proper names generally.
So maybe
the creek, the mountains, the lake, the river, you know.
So is it more Washington Irving then?
Maybe. this is the sort of area where, you know, you work on a movie for 3 years. It's very real to you in your vision of it and very real to you in your manifestation of that vision, but you won't know until other people see it where it really fits for people, where they place it, what label they might put on it, you know. So I suppose I'm the maker of this film but not the expert on what it is, perhaps.
And is this the type of film the Hudson Valley Film Commission knows about, or was it do you have big budgets going around filming local places and had to get licenses and things, or is this more sort of on the fly?
This is as no budget one man movie as you will ever encounter. So there's no budget. I paid for it myself. with my own limited savings and consequently made it as cheaply as possible. I'm the writer, director, producer, cameraman, gaffer, soundtrack composer, editor, so on and so on. And so the only other people in the project are the actors, all of whom volunteered to be in it because they're friends of mine or acquaintances from the Catskill community who were interested in having an experience acting. So you've got a one-man crew with a crew of with a cast of all non-actors, and that's very, very rare. Movies generally, at least of feature length variety, are not typically made that way. And I didn't fundraise or find grants or anything because I really felt like I could do this myself and have complete freedom and take as long as I want to make it and so on and so on. And as for locations, I found people who were simply willing to let me film in their space, but largely it takes place outside. So that was easy. So I filmed a lot of stuff, you know, in the mountains and along the creeks and in the woods where no one cares.
Is it a summertime story, or did the season sort of change throughout did you film it over a long period of time?
I filmed it over 3 years, and the story takes place over 1 year. So it explores each of the four seasons. It starts in fall and ends in the following fall as it transitions into winter. So yeah, it's I think a beautiful portrait of this landscape through a fictional narrative. So it'll very much feel like you're here in the Hudson Valley, and people will recognize a lot of places. And
well, next question, people will see things they not just that will seem familiar, but they will actually recognize, oh, I've been to that exact spot before.
Sure, definitely. I try to not use anything too obvious, and being a resident of Catskill and most of the actors also being residents of Catskill, I really chose to film almost not at all in town. So it's more scattered about, but certainly people will recognize certain places, and everyone will recognize the mountains because the view of the mountains obviously is very distinct here. So yeah.
And you've got to be thrilled that the world premiere on Friday is actually in Catskill.
This is the world premiere, and it is in Catskill, and I'm very, very lucky because the entire time I was filming this movie, I dreamed of premiering it at the community theater in Catskill, which, as many people know, is a beautiful old historic theater that was a vaudeville theater in the 20s and then got converted to a movie theater in the 40s and has 500 seats and all the original furnishings and everything. It's absolutely majestic and beautiful in there. It's a dream place to have a premiere, and I always wanted to do it there, but at the time I started making the movie, that was not even legally possible at that theater, and then it closed for the entire bulk of the pandemic, and then only recently was purchased by a new owner, and that owner, Ben Fain, happened to be willing to let me premiere my movie there. So I frankly just totally lucked out, and to be able to have the premiere in a beautiful theater, big enough to invite as many people as I want, it's free and open to the public, is just such a gift. And I'm excited to share it with everyone. I mean, I really feel that this movie has something in it for everyone. The characters range from 30 to 76 years old. There's men, there's women, there's artists, there's a jingle composer, a cowboy, you name it. There's every kind of character you could think of. And I think that there's something in it for everyone. I really do.
And are we going to see spotlights in the sky on Friday? And did you have to rent a red carpet? Are there going to be paparazzi? What is the scene going to be like for a world premiere movie in Catskill?
you know, if it weren't such a sprint to the finish to get the movie done and polished and delivered to the theater in the format that the theater requires and so on, I might have had time to get the spotlights and the red carpet situated. But as it is, it will be without fanfare. So I at least have the name of the movie up on the marquee, which feels like fanfare of some degree. But yeah, it will be a pretty humble event in all other regards. You know, as I said, it's free and open to the public, so anyone can just stroll in there. Bring your own snacks. There's no concessions. That's one detail I couldn't work out among all the other things I had to. So, but I do think it'll be a very celebratory event because it'll be family and friends and community members and certainly plenty of people who don't know me but are just aware there's a free movie premiere and are excited to go to it because that theater is coming back to life and people are excited about that. And I'll certainly give a speech at the beginning and provide some context for people about where this movie comes from, the story of making it. And I think it'll be a very special occasion. I believe it's the only feature-length movie to ever be shown there by a local filmmaker.
Yeah, I think it's the biggest local cinematic event since the Orson Welles in me wants to say since the world of the War of the Worlds that was filmed in Athens premiered.
Oh, I didn't realize that was filmed in Athens.
The Tom Cruise one, not the...
Sure. I think it's pretty exciting, and I really hope that people enjoy it. And I'm very curious to learn what people's experiences are because, frankly, as I said, you spend so long making a thing, you just lose objectivity about it. But I think if I spent this long working on it and this long editing it and I still like it, I think that's a very good sign.
You probably haven't even seen it on a big screen yet, have you?
I've seen parts of it, and I'm about, right after we meet, to go down to the movie theater and do a full test screening. So I will get to see it. But the glimpses I've seen on the big screen are incredible. It's indescribable to spend this much time and this much effort on something and be editing it on a 15-inch laptop and then go into this beautiful big old theater and see it, you know, 30, 40 foot diagonal, just larger than life as a movie should be. And I'm thrilled to see the whole thing and for people to see the whole thing. I'm incredibly lucky that it didn't fall apart because it was a very, very difficult production and there were any number of things that could have gone wrong that would basically sink the whole project. And I just hung in there and people hung in there with me and we got through to the end. And now we get to celebrate and enjoy it together. And it's pretty exciting.
And there are some local folks in the movie that people might recognize. Is that true?
There are. I would say the most recognizable for people will be Brian DeWan, the great multidisciplinary artist, most known for his singing and visual art, who is a friend of mine and a wonderful, wonderful person. He plays a jingle composer. And then Richard Sandler, who's a renowned street photographer, plays an artist, and many other people who are perhaps less visible publicly, but very visible within the community are in it and will certainly be recognized by people who live in and around Catskill.
And I think you have a website for the film. If people want more information, what is that?
Yeah, it's simply yourvalleymyvalley.com. And you can get all the details for the premiere and some stills of the movie and a brief description and that sort of thing.
Yeah, there's not a clip. I was hoping you'd bring a clip that we could introduce and play. But do you want to act out a scene from the movie?
I think I'm a little too worn out to act out a scene from the movie. Yeah, if I had known, I could have brought a clip, but yeah, I decided to not make a trailer because I felt that it was very difficult to capture what this movie is in a trailer. I would have to spend so much time to really get it right, and I really need that time to finish all of the details that I need to finish to get the thing delivered. The thing is, I could have easily made a very, very compelling, mysterious, serious trailer, but the movie is not serious. The movie is fundamentally silly, and that's very hard to convey in a trailer unless you're making an outright comedy that has very punctuated moments of laughter. So I just decided that a trailer is not the right thing for this, and so people will just have to look at that poster and say, does this look like a movie I want to see? And I think so far, for a lot of people, the answer is yes.
Yeah, the poster is very pastoral. I'll give it the radio
sure
description. But it's got a gentleman in a sort of canoe in a creek or river with some sort of sound-emitting machine that seems 18th century or 19th century.
Yeah, it's a 5-foot aluminum horn loudspeaker hooked up to a reel-to-reel portable tape machine. And he is paddling music down the creek with healing purposes in mind. That's not giving much away.
Yeah, so it's more 19th century then, I guess. I mean, more 20th century.
Mid 20th century, yes.
I'm 100 years off.
Well, the horn loudspeaker, I would say, is 100 years old. The reel-to-reel tape machine is probably 50 to 60 years old. And yes, that beautiful poster was illustrated by Maeve McCool, who is a local artist here and wonderfully talented, and she brought that to life vividly, and I couldn't be more thrilled.
And there's a couple of notes for people going to this movie screening. We're talking with Brendan Fay about his movie Your Valley, My Valley, which premieres at the Community Theater in Catskill on Main Street on November 18th. You've got a couple notes. You're going to cut into the concession stand income. How's the community theater supposed to make any money if you're going to urge people to bring their own snacks?
The community theater is not going to make any money because I am running the premiere myself. I'm hiring the projectionist, hiring the doorman, and in this way, making it so that it's free and open to the public. And the one detail I couldn't manage was the concessions. So I'm just telling people to feel free to bring their own snacks of any kind, which usually you have to sneak into a movie theater. And I'm just telling you, you can do that.
Your urge to bring it in. And then another detail is that after the film screening, you're going to have a Q&A at Avalon, the Avalon Lounge up the street.
That is true. Just down the block. Upstairs at the Avalon, we'll be having an after party and informal Q&A in which I'll be interviewed by a puppet by the name of Tolzar, who is a local celebrity around here and a very funny, odd little being. And he will be moderating the Q&A and then opening it up for questions to anyone who has questions, which I think people will. And I'm looking forward to hearing them because I feel I will learn about my movie by hearing what people are curious to ask. And so, yes, that's also free. Just let the guy at the door know that you're there for the Q&A. And I think that'll be a lot of fun and a chance for people to meet the cast if they're curious. I believe everyone except for Suzanne Bernstein will be present.
And you're telling me that Catskill's preeminent film expert is a puppet?
Well, I don't know that he's the preeminent film expert, but he's a friend of mine and is very charismatic. And so I chose him to moderate, because I felt that people are going to sit through a 2.5 hour movie that I made, and then I'm going to walk them down the street and make them listen to me talk for half an hour. That felt very indulgent. So I thought, how can I make this undeniably entertaining? So I brought in Tolzar, the odd dimensional being mystic, to guarantee that it would be entertaining. And so I'm really going to let him run the show, and I'm just kind of his sidekick who also has the answers to the questions.
And he is your one charismatic friend who you left out of the movie?
Yeah. Well, there, Tolzar is almost larger than life. I think he would overshadow every other sort of more subtle character in the movie. So I thought that he could just kind of be there at the finish line to greet us when we were done, which is what this after party Q&A will be.
And so we're speaking with Brendan Fay, the director of Your Valley, My Valley, which is coming to the community theater November 18th in Catskill. Do people need to know anything before seeing? Usually you ask this question before you show the clip, but do people need to know anything before seeing the movie?
I don't think that there's any context that's needed to experience this movie. They should know that it's 2.5 hours long, which is not short. They should know that it's PG-13.
You made a 2.5 hour movie yourself?
I did. Well, I spent 3 years making it, and I started out with only 2 characters and very little script, and wrote the script and added characters as I went along. And it was simply an ever-evolving puzzle that I was solving and making as I went. And when it was all done and I cut it, it was 2 hours and 50 minutes long. And I was able to shave off 20 minutes, and someday maybe I'll be able to shave off more. But this was the cut that I wanted this audience to see, because it's where my heart is with this movie. So this is the director's cut. Often you have to wait years for the director's cut to come out on a special disc. I'm sharing the director's cut right off the bat, and maybe it'll never be seen again. Maybe it'll be chiseled down for film festivals and become a shorter, tighter thing. But I really believe in every single moment in this movie, and I didn't want to leave any of it out. And so, yes, it's 2.5 hours, so it's good to know. Like I said, bring snacks. You want to be comfortable and nourished as you go on this rather long journey, but I don't think it will feel long.
Well, unlike your movie, we're going to be cut off in 30 seconds or less. You have any final thoughts for viewers who might consider attending at 7 p.m. Friday, November 18th, Your Valley?